Well, the verse power and life and death are in the power of the tongue. We looked at a number of things that back up or describe the tongue of death. We have the loud tongue, the lying tongue, the loose tongue, the flattering tongue. We have the light tongue speaks things lightly without thinking of their consequences. The perverse tongue, the abnormally nice tongue, a gossiping tongue, a number of verses about the talebearer in the book of Proverbs. We also looked at the lazy excuse making tongue. We also looked at the proud tongue. Tonight, the next one on the list is the nagging tongue. You know, it's interesting how many verses in the book of Proverbs have to do with a nagging tongue. Proverbs chapter 25. Go to Proverbs 25 and verse 14. Actually, that is not... Oh, sorry, I was looking at 25 verse 24. Proverbs 25 verse 24. Notice what it says here. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. So you've got this, you know, loud woman, nagging woman getting after you. The Bible says it's better to be, you know, on top of your, you know, roof, in the corner of the roof, you know, maybe a day which would be more flat roofs, maybe not a roof kind of like ours, but, you know, be off in your corner than be in this huge house but have a huge problem on your hands. Proverbs 21, verse 9. You know, Solomon was somebody who maybe had a lot of experience at this, seeing how many wives and concubines he had. It says here, Proverbs 21:9, it says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop, again, than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Let's go to Proverbs, the same chapter, but verse 19. It says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 13. It says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 27. Says a continual dropping in a very verse 15 I'm in a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. All right, so it talks about a brawling woman, talks about a contentious woman. You know, somebody who has a nagging tongue, or somebody maybe not just a nagging tongue but always looking, you know, to put something in the conversation that's going to bring contention into a relationship. Now, these verses were particularly directed at ladies. And so ladies need to be extremely careful that what they say, especially in a husband-wife relationship, does not cause turmoil in that relationship. You know, must be careful. You know, men obviously need to be careful about what they say. You know, words can be very hurtful. But here in these verses, the direction is specifically at women to be very careful in, you know, their speech. With your speech, you can cause damage to the marriage relationship. And so a lady needs to be extremely careful. You know, young men growing up, you need to be careful the selection that you have for a wife. You know, you don't follow your parents' advice, and you could very easily get yourself into one of these types of relationships because you're going strictly after the flesh instead of going for what God sees as very valuable, a meek and a quiet spirit. You know, young men, what are you looking out for? Are you looking simply for the flesh, or are you looking for someone who exhibits the fruit of the Spirit in their life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All right, so we have this brawling, this contentious mouth. All right, it can be maybe a wife that's nagging. All right, or just putting little jabs in there at her husband. All right, let's continue on. We have going maybe somewhat along with that tongue, but more of a generalized one, an angry tongue. Proverbs chapter 21. There's a number of verses in Proverbs about this type of tongue. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24. It says, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." All right, what is one of the things that would describe somebody who is angry? Well, one of the words that goes along with wrath is pride. And why cannot some people control their anger? Well, it's because they're proud. And if they weren't proud, they wouldn't maybe use some of the language that they are using. So proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. You know, young people, do you get angry at the authorities in your life? Do you have proud wrath? Let's go to the next verse, 19:19. Page earlier. It says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." So there's a great consequence. It says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment." And somebody who has great wrath, all right, is somebody that can't what? That has a hard time controlling something in their life. And what does it say? "If thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." Then let's go to Proverbs 16, verse 32. It says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." All right, we need to be extremely careful. We need to work on allowing the Lord to work in our lives so that we are slow to anger instead of quick to anger. All right, the Bible says somebody that's slow to anger is better than what? Better than the mighty. All right, somebody that can control their spirit is what? And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So the Bible shows that, you know what, it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of spiritual strength to what? Control our spirit. And obviously, I mean, you know, in the New Testament, the fruit of the Spirit, that plays right into controlling our anger, an angry tongue. Then let's go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 17. Notice what the Bible says about anger, the foolishness of it. It says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." So the Bible simply states that it is foolish to get angry quickly. You know, next time that we're tempted, all of us face this temptation to get angry. You know, we need to think about the fact that we get angry soon. We're what? We're dealing foolishly. You know, it talks about, you know, we looked at the light tongue, and I can't remember the exact reference, but, you know, when we speak, answer matter before we hear it, you know, it's not a wise thing. And, you know, we get really angry about something. And sometimes that comes back to haunt us because maybe we realize that we didn't know all the facts in the situation. So we need to be extremely careful about our anger. The angry tongue is something that leads to death. Now let's go to the next one. We have a disrespectful tongue. A disrespectful tongue. Verse 20, Proverbs 20, verse 20, it says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. The person who curses his father or his mother. You know, young people, it is important that you treat your parents with the utmost respect. Notice the result. His lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. You know, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. It's the what? It's the first commandment with promise. You know, cursing your mother and father can lead to a what? An untimely death. You know, it is important that you speak respectfully. You know, sometimes we don't, maybe as a child, you don't think about it. But the words that the Bible uses against children that do not speak respectfully to their parents, and beyond just speaking respectfully, they even go as far as to curse them. You know, and to speak words against, you know, a child that would say something like, I hate you. Really, that would be akin really to cursing their parents. You know, a child that's going to lash out in anger and say such reprehensible words as something like, I hate you, or I wish you weren't around. You know, that's terrible. You know, but there's young people out there that'll say those kinds of things to their parents. Well, they need to read Proverbs 20:20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Then Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 11 talks about, it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. A generation that curseth their father but doth not bless their mother. You know, it also talks about, you know, in verse number 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. You know, hopefully tonight, young person, you're not of the generation that curses your parents, but you're one that will bless them, that will praise them, that will laud them, that will lift them up in your life. So we have a disrespectful tongue. Next, we have an argumentative tongue. You know, are you out there looking for an argument? Proverbs chapter 18. Verses 6 through 7. Proverbs 18, 6 through 7. It says, a fool's mouth is his destruction. Let's see, is that the right reference I'm looking for? Yeah. Proverbs, a fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer as... I'm reading one verse ahead. Verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is what? His destruction. And his lips are the snare of his soul. So what do? They enter into contention. You know, they're quick to lash out. They're quick to throw something out at somebody else. Trying to, you know, get into an argument. Get some contention going. The opposite of a peaceful tongue. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 10, it talks about a prating fool or somebody with somebody that's mouthy. Proverbs 10 and verse 8, it says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool, somebody that's mouthy, shall fall. You know, they're argumentative. They can't accept something. They have to get into contention over things. You know, are you that way? Are you on the mouthy side? You got that argumentative tongue, that contentious tongue? You know, you just have to, you know, put in that comment. Or young person, you're given something to do. Do you accept the commandment or do you mouth off? Well, it's going to lead to destruction. A prating fool shall fall. All right, the next one. We have a vicious tongue. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. A vicious tongue could be somebody that's overly critical. Proverbs 12, verse 18, it says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You know, the piercings of a sword. You know, I don't think any of us would like getting a sword in our side or pushed into us. You know, it doesn't feel good. If you've ever gotten, you know, some of those cuts that really hurt is when you take a knife and you accidentally cut yourself with a knife. And, you know, you get a slice with the knife. It just seems like those are the kind of cuts that take a long time to heal and the pain just stays there for a while. Well, the Bible compares the mouth to a sword and the piercings of a sword. You know, somebody's mouth can pierce like a sword. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. Notice what it says. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. A violent, vicious mouth here. And then also in chapter 30 and verse number 14. Chapter 30, verse 14. It says, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives. To what? To devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. All right, people out there just devouring others up with their mouth. All right, and really this goes along a little bit with the next verse, the selfish tongue. Notice the next verse says, the horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. Now here's the horse leech. You know, there, you get a blood sucker on you. What do they constantly want? They constantly want more, sucking the blood right out of you. You know, is your mouth the same way? You're never satisfied? Give, give me, I want this. You know, I want that. Instead of being a, you know, a giver, you're a taker. Like we heard at the message at Camp Joy. Are you that selfish tongue? You're always looking to get more for yourself. You know, that goes along with the person that's going to lash out instead of give out kind words. All right, then we also have one more. We need to get to the positive ones here. We have a scheming tongue. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, verses 6 and 7. Notice what the wicked are doing with their mouth, using their words to scheme, to plot against people, instead of seeking to deliver people. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. But notice that the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. You know, we might think, well, we would never have a problem with this, you know, using our tongue to scheme a plot to bring somebody else down. You know, but really, it goes along with the gossiping tongue. You know, using your words, trying to devise a plan. I'm sure this has happened in, you know, churches many times. You know, people kind of getting together using their tongues to try to bring somebody down, maybe, you know, bring the pastor down, maybe bring somebody else down that's seeking to do what is right. You know, devising schemes with their tongue. You know, maybe it's, you know, people getting together, scheming how they're going to do some sort of sin. You know, the wrong kids, teenagers getting together, plotting ways that they're going to do wrong. You know, that is the kind of tongue that leads to death. But let's look at some types of mouths that lead to life. What kind of mouths should we find? Looked at a lot of things we ought to stay away from, but what kind of things should we implement in our life? Well, there's verses on this, the tongue that lends reproof. Proverbs chapter 1. You know, we don't like to get reproved, but It says in Proverbs 1:21, talking about wisdom, what is she doing? She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" What does it say? "Turn you at my," what? "Reproof." All right, what is she doing? She's going to rescue these people from going the wrong direction. And a tongue that's going to give reproof is a tongue that leads to life. Proverbs chapter 28. So here's wisdom crying out. Proverbs 28, verse 23. It says, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." He that flattereth with the tongue. You know, are you a person that's willing to rebuke somebody else? You know, it's not easy to do. Sometimes people don't always receive it right away. But you know, if that person will take what you give them and think about it and seek to implement what you've said in their life, later on, guess what? They're going to be thankful for the rebuke that you gave. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall" what? "He shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." You know, parents, be willing to correct your children. You know, don't think, "Boy, well, it seems like I'm always doing it." You know, well, the parent that just sits there and never says anything negative to their children, but is only flattering them, well, that's not going to help them. It's not saying that we're going to look at, yes, we ought to say pleasant words as well, but we need to be willing to correct. "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest." All right, so we need to have tongues that are willing to give reproof. But we also need to have tongues that are patient. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 15 says, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a" what? "A soft tongue breaketh the bone." You know, there's wisdom in not just what? You know, coming up to an authority and what? Just pounding on them. You know, but being patient. Being patient. Not looking to just get our way. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Patient tongue. Proverbs 15:1 is a familiar verse. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." You know, do we have a soft answer when somebody speaks to us maybe in a way we don't appreciate? A soft answer, the Bible says, turns away wrath. Proverbs 14:29, a few verses before, "He that is slow to wrath is of" what? "Is of great understanding." All right, we need to have a patient tongue. We need to learn to control our spirits. Then we also need to have a tongue that is spirit controlled. We need to have a spirit controlled tongue. We need to have a tongue that is under control. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Boy, it's amazing how important it is for us to keep our tongue under control. We ought not be in the habit of just saying whatever comes to our mind. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. Says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is" what? "Is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." You know, the verse really speaks for itself. You know, sometimes even somebody that's foolish, they can be counted wise when they simply are quiet. You know, learning to be quiet and not just to say whatever comes to our mind. You know, what we have to say isn't always the wisest thing in the world. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 and 3. Notice where our answer should come from. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is where? Is from the Lord. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy what? And thy thoughts shall be established. You know, instead of just jumping out with whatever we're going to say, hey, you know, the right answer is going to come from who? It's going to come from the Lord. We need to commit our works unto Him. Our thoughts are going to be established. And guess what? What we think is going to turn out to be what we speak. And so we need to commit those things to the Lord instead of just jumping out and speaking whatever comes to our mind. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Again, how important it is for us to place a guard upon our mouths. Keep them shut. You know, don't just speak it. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. It says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit, what? Concealeth the matter. You know, when somebody gives you information, can you just keep it quiet? You know, or are you one of those people that, boy, we talked about it last, who just has to tell somebody? You know, you find something out and you got to pick up the phone and go and tell somebody. You know, and it was meant to be private information that wasn't supposed to be given out. You know, do you have that faithful spirit, or are you one that can't control your mouth and you're just got to give it out? All right, Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 32 says, the lips of the righteous, what? Know what is acceptable. All right, if you have a hard time knowing what to say and what not to say, well, that means there's a problem in your life. And you know, you need to get a little more righteousness in your life so you know the appropriate things to say. You know, but the Bible says the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the what? The mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. I mean, they can't help it. I mean, that's what's there. It just comes out. But the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. They're going to control what comes out of their mouths. Then one more verse on this, and we're going to probably have to stop before we get through. We've got to go get to prayer. Verse 11. Notice it says, Proverbs 20, line 11. You know, there's a lot of verses in Proverbs about us controlling our tongue. Why might that be? Well, it's probably because we have a hard time controlling our tongues. And so it's something maybe the Lord's trying to get our attention on. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man, what? Keepeth it in till afterwards. All right? Did we see that? A fool uttereth all his mind. You know, just has to say everything. You know, young people in school, are you one of those people that can't wait for the teacher to call on you? I mean, you just have to blurt it out? Well, what does the Bible say about that kind of a person? You know, a fool uttereth all his mind. But what? A wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. You know, maybe you just saw something took place. You know, well, maybe it's better just to be quiet about what happened. You know, there's the verse in Proverbs, and I can't remember, you know, but it talks about, you know, or actually it's in Ecclesiastes, I think. And, you know, what you speak, you know, the birds of the air will carry it. And, you know, sometimes we're better off just being quiet. You know, parents, You know, you better be careful what you say around your children. You know, you better be careful about negative things you say around your children. You know, the wise man's going to just be quiet and weigh his words and realize the effect that they can have. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. One more, and then we'll stop here. But a pleasant tongue. Notice what it says here in, look at these verses real quickly. I guess we're right around Proverbs 29. So Proverbs 27, verse 9. Look at a couple of these verses quickly, and then we'll close. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Right, the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know, when, I guess maybe this is beyond just pleasant words, but speaking wise words to somebody, giving them the right kind of direction in life. You know, the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 21 and 24, and we'll end here for tonight. Proverbs 16, 21 and 24. Says here, verse 21, says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. And the what? The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. All right, there is a proper attitude that we need to have if we're going to help people to learn. Verse 24 says, pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and what? Health to the bones. You know, our words have such an impact. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, parents with our children, boy, speaking the right kind of words in the right manner. You know, young people to your parents, you know, how do you speak to them? You know, pleasant words are as in honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul. They're health to the bones. You know, I don't think this is a... This is not a spiritualized bones here, you know. There's some sort of special spiritual bones that we have. No, this is referring to our literal health is helped out by how we speak. You know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know, and here our words can actually help somebody else's health out. You know, how are your words contributing to someone's health? How are your words contributing to the learning environment, you know, of your family? Our words are so important. And a pleasant tongue can be a very valuable tool, you know, in seeing someone's life developed and go on for the Lord. All right, we will stop there tonight. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would be with us, Lord. Help us to put a watch over our mouths. Lord, something that we use every day. Lord, if we were to count how many words we speak in a day, Lord, I'm sure it would be very many. Lord, I pray that each one of us tonight would recognize the value, Lord, of the right kind of words, but also, Lord, the great detriment that the wrong kind of words can have upon a person's life. Lord, I pray that each one of us tonight, even now, Lord, would examine our own hearts. Lord, if there's an area that needs to change, Lord, that we would change it, recognizing that this is not a light matter, but Lord, is a great matter that has to do with life and death. Lord, may you work in our hearts. May you strengthen us. Lord, may this enable us to go forward for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.